Let us begin this service with singing number 123. Stanzas 2 and 3. Number 123, stanzas 2 and 3. We all the day long for thy sake are consumed, defeated and helpless to death we are doomed. Then why dost thou tarry, Jehovah, wake, nor spurns us forever, arise for our sake. Number 123, stanzas 2 and 3. To you from God's holy word, the Gospel of Matthew, the 9th chapter. And we commence with verse 18. Matthew 9. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, the woman which was deceased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and tossed the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame thereof went abroad into all that land. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto him, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with the devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then says he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. This far. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father. And Christ Jesus, our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. O eternal, all-knowing, and all-sufficient God, let it not be evil in thy holy sight, that we draw nigh unto thee in this evening hour of this day, where it has pleased thee in the way of thy providence and in thy long suffering and tender kindness to bring us together round about thy word, an eternal testimony. Grant unto us for thy great name's sake, for Christ's sake only, an undeserved blessing. We are always so dependent upon thee, O living God and Most High, that it may deep impression to our heart and soul, and by the operation of the Holy Spirit, that drives us out unto thee, and that our eyes also in our gathering, in speaking and hearing, may wear upon thee, from whence is come all our help. It is again for the last day and our evening in this trip, on this trip that we are gathered with this part of thy vineyard round about thy precious word. Lord, that it may be to a blessing for young and old, for great and small. We have forfeited every right to any blessing, but view us in thy beloved Son, in that blessed mediator, in that excellent surety of thy church, in him who is elected from all eternity, chosen by his Father, sent into this world, and who had finished at the work of redemption, the satisfying unto the justice of God, the fulfilling of the law, to bruise the head of Satan, and to deliver thy people out of the snares of the devil, and out of under his dominion, and to restore them into the fellowship with God. Lord, look down in mercy upon each and every one, and that our gathering in this evening may be to a blessing for young and old, great and small, that it become unforgettable for this one and that one, that this one and that one may born in Zion and establish thy work in the hearts of thy children, all that they receive an undeserved blessing and provision on the pathway through the misery of this wilderness of this world and wretchedness, and that their eyes were upon the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that we may receive out of his fullness grace for grace, and that our empty hearts may be filled by him, that we experience also in our gathering thy presence for our soul, also where we are called for the last time now again to explain thy word and to proclaim that everlasting gospel. Lord, thou knowest how poor that we are in ourselves, but O help us again, also in the language of the land, give Aaron's and hers at our right and left, and that we receive boldness, freedom and liberty, courage and love, to bring the truth in the midst of this congregation, that we for our own soul may receive an undeserved blessing, and that our heart and the hearts of thy children may be rejoiced in thee, the living God. Remember all those who cannot gather with us, all the sick and afflicted people, those who are in hospitals and institutions. We commend them all at thy throne. Also our boys in the service of this country, protect them by day and by night. Remember all of us and visit us together in thy love and in thy favor with the pardoning of all our sins and transgressions. For Christ's sake only, amen. We sing now number 176. O God, to us show mercy and bless us in thy grace. Cause thou to shine upon us the brightness of thy face, that so thy way must most holy on earth may soon be known, and unto every people thy saving grace be shown. Number 176, all the stanzas. Beloved congregation, there is, in accordance and on the basis of the Word of God, laid from all eternity, a close tie between Christ and his church. In Isaiah 42, there the Son of God is called the servant of his Father. And in the second Psalm, verse 6, there the Father himself declares, yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. And in those two tekst. Het is very clear that the Father has appointed his Son to be the head of his church and to be the mediator and savior of his people. For that reason, Christ was sent into this world in the fullness of time. He took upon him our human nature. That was, of course, as we know, necessary to be the true Redeemer of his church. He must be God, but he must be also true man. Otherwise, it was impossible for Christ to take that place and to take upon him that great work of redemption. And also Christ is called in the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews our compassionate high priest. And time and again, when Christ was here on earth, then we see him not only as the Son of the living God, merited salvation, and also applying salvation, but we see him also as true man. In our human nature, bearing the needs and wants of his church given him by his Father and accepted by him from all eternity. We have a clear example of that and a clear proof in our text, which we will consider with you in this evening with the assistance of the Lord. The words of our text you will find in Matthew 9, verse 36, 7 and 8. These words, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest through his plenties, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Thus far. We have in our text to consider in this evening Christ's compassion on the multitude. What shows to us in the first place that Christ was truly man? In the second place, what it was that Christ saw And in the third place, the remedy which he described unto his disciples. As we know out of the Bible, Christ was 30 years old when he started with his public labor in God's vineyard. He was able, even when he was 12 years old, and he was there sitting in the temple in the midst of the teachers. Because at that time already, they were astonished about that wisdom that Christ revealed at that time. But of course, Christ was, as you find that in Galatians 4, Christ was born under the law and willingly and voluntarily he has placed himself under that law all the time. And now that law that requires at that time that nobody was permitted to speak in public till he was 30 years old. And amongst Israel, when the people was 50 years old in the tabernacle and or in the temple later on, then they already were retired. They served only 20 years, because in a period between 30 and 50, that is the best time of our life. When we become 50 years old and we become older, then we can realize that our strength is not the same as before. We go down. And now the best part of our life that requires the Lord from the priest and the Levites. And so it was also with the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was 30 years old, then he started his public service amongst the people of Israel. And Christ never was lazy. Never. We read in the Bible, at a daytime, then he was preaching in the synagogues, and at night he was praying on the mountain. As a clear proof that he always was busy in the work of his Father. And there is not one text in the Bible that we could say now Christ was discouraged about the execution
of his office, that he was disappointed, that he was ready to lay it down. And of course, outwardly and humanly speaking, if there ever was one preacher in the world who had a reason to be discouraged, then it must be Christ. Really? Because we read that already in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. He came to his own, but his own people did not desire him. And it was always enmity against his preaching, denying of him as the Son of God, and as the Savior of the world. We have proofs, or we can prove it already, out of Isaiah 53 and Zechariah 9 and other portions of the Holy Scripture, that Christ was not desired by men. No. And still, he never was discouraged, but he always was willing to execute his orders. And where he came, he was always ready to preach, and he was always ready to help the people, even in their sickness and in all their afflictions. He was always willing. And now the whole life of Christ was in the service of his Father, but also was to the welfare of his people. That was now always in his heart, and it was always his will and his desire to sacrifice himself to the welfare of souls. It was a dark time in which Christ was preaching here on the earth. There were churches enough. Oh yes. The temple was in Jerusalem. But outside that temple, there were so many synagogues, even in the city of Jerusalem. And in the smallest villages, there were places where the people came together to hear the law of Moses and the reading of the prophets. Thus outwardly, there was religion enough. That was not lacking in the time of Christ, no. But what was now the greatest trouble? It was a dead religion. There was no life in it at all. There was in that religion nothing for a poor, for a wretched, and for a sinful creature. And he was the one who was sent by the Father to preach everywhere the gospel of the kingdom, to reveal unto the people from day to day the will of his Father. He was not preaching the law of Moses. No, because the people there for years and years heard nothing than the law of Moses. And he was sent into this world to preach the gospel, to bring that glad tiding. And of course the contents of that glad tiding, that is, that the Lord is reconciled with men through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that now in Christ is salvation for a wretched and for a condemned creature. But of course, the law of Moses was not able to give that. There were in the Old Testament 12 types, ceremonies. But of course, it was very dark. And it was, as Paul declares later on, it was a ministration under the law. And the law, of course, knows nothing of mercy and grace, because grace is revealed by Jesus Christ. And now was he sent into this world to bring that gospel and that glad tidings. He was also, as Peter declares later on, he was himself that holy name that was given under heaven, whereby that he must be saved. And now in our text, we read, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. And of course, in that first point, Christ is revealed unto us here as a compassionate Christ, full of compassion towards men. We have clear proofs enough in the Bible that he was the Son of the living God. But now in this part of our text, we seek also here before us Christ's compassion on the multitudes. Palestine, the country, was not so big as the United States. Even a little part of the states. But nevertheless, the population was very great and high. That was, of course, foretold already unto Abraham, when he was alone in this world. Then the Lord refers his eyes unto the sky one evening, and then he saw that all the stars, and then the Lord declares that now his generation would be as the stars on the sky and as the sand on the shore. For that reason, it was such a great sin of David that he, even in the days of his old age, that he commanded Joab and that other people to count his people. It was forbidden by the Lord to do it. Because the Lord, he had spoken in former days that that seed may be, that it must be innumerable. And David, he would know how great the number was of his people. Thus it was a great sin. And now even in the days when Christ was here on earth, the cities, the villages were so crowded. It was the same as what we now see here in our cities and in our villages in these days, that they are looking for houses and for room everywhere. And when Christ now go past the streets in those cities and villages, oh, then he saw that big crowd of people all the time. And then he was moved with compassion on them. As men. Same as later on in Luke 19, that he was crying when he came before the gates of Jerusalem. That was also in his human nature, not in his divine nature. That is impossible. Our children, they have learned that out of the question book of Hellenbroek already. And that is based on the word of God. But he was moved with compassion on them in his human nature. Because in the first place, he knew what was necessary for each and every one. And for himself, he has that consciousness that only through him there was forgiveness of sins and restoration into the fellowship with God. And another thing, he was also convinced of that gospel that he was preaching, that was of the right kind. That is something required in every ministry. And what is required for every ministry? That he is convinced for himself about what he is talking and what he is preaching. That is necessary in the first place. Because if we have to talk upon things that we not know for ourselves, that is an hard job. Read. I am now soon 11 years in this country. And before that I came in this country, I have heard so much about this country, of course. I have read so much about America. And especially that time when I preach farewell in different churches, then I say something about this country. But once, I say nothing on one evening. Not. I preached my sermon and it was done. But after that service, there came a man to the pulpit at that time, and he said, I am a citizen of America, and I hope soon to see you there. And I was very glad that I have nothing said about that country in that evening. Because all that we know, what I know, that was only out of a book, and that I have heard of other people. If they called me now to say something about the United States, then it is different. Because now I have seen it with my eyes. Now I am able to talk about it a little. And you read in the Bible, in the first epistle of John, that he said, what we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. And if we have something of that in our heart, then it is not so hard to speak and to preach. If we know what we are talking about, I give you a little example, if we are preaching about conversion, if we are preaching about cutting off from Adam and engrafting in Christ, if we are preaching about the revelation of Christ unto our hearts, if we are talking about justification and sanctification and mortification, and we have no knowledge for ourselves, then there is people sitting under us, amongst us, that know these things, then they can hear it. Then it is not right. They can hear it, they realize it, they observe it. And it is impossible without experimental knowledge for ourselves that we can preach with boldness and with freedom in our hearts. That was, of course, in a perfect manner in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was always with his Father from all eternity. And what he had heard and seen with it by his Father, he was preaching that all the time. And now convinced that there was no other way, people. There is only one way to salvation, lead him to salvation. Only one way. And in regard to the principle, we have to learn the same thing. The Lord, he can lead his people through different ways. But when you are talking about regeneration and justification, that is all the same. Paul, he said to the congregation of Ephesus, and you as he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And that is now the same for the whole church. There is no other way. And we all have that to experience for ourselves. And now Christ, he saw the multitudes with compare, and he was moved with compassion on them. With compassion. Because we believe that there is one church in the world. vultures. Vultures. Look in Patterson. Look in Passaic. Look at New York. When I came there Thursday morning, I have never seen churches as that I have seen Thursday morning, so big. I was in one of those churches, he was open and sometimes noisy. But I thought I looked at the violin, that's just they have a little time. And I thought, what a building, what a building. What a building. But we have always to separate something. We have to make a separation between the church building and the church. I preached in my life sometime in a barn, sometime in houses, I preached years and years ago sometime outside in the field. That happens too. There is a difference between the church and the church building. Not all the church buildings in the world are churches. No. And not the true church. But I think that is now too well something to make it out what is the true church. I think that must be an awful problem. I catechized years ago in Benthuizen for 7 years where Reverend Lederboer all his life was. And that church that people that is there also are old fashioned, still in our days. A big difference with other villages. You can always observe that man was there. And now in 1961, then it is already 100 years that he was there. 100 years. And still there is something in that place. And in that church there, that you can realize that God-fearing man was there, the blessing of the righteous. I have taught that so many times when I was preaching there in the church and catechizing the children. The blessing of the righteous, because he was the second Enoch who walked with the Lord. A wonderful life. And then once I catechized the little children too there. And then once we have to talk about the church in an afternoon. And then I asked that boy, he was maybe 6-7 years old. I asked that boy where the true church was. And in that village, you have two churches that are Reformed and Netherlands Reformed out church. And then that boy that stands up there, and so proud, he said, out church. That is the true church. 7 years old. I never forget it. But now, I think there's some people that who say, now I would you ask something. I would ask you something. And still I have pleasure in the answer. Really. So convinced of what he have heard of his parents. If now we were the only church in the world, then the church must be very small. If we were the only church. Oh, I hope with my whole heart, people, that at every pulpit that was heard and drew down, the Lord exalted to the highest, and a sinner abased to the lowest. That is now the pure preaching, because that is now the true church. Where the Lord gathered his people, chosen by the Father, purchased by Christ, and called and sanctified by the Holy Ghost, and where that doctrine is preached, I say it in a different way, God all and man nothing. That is the right doctrine. And where Christ is laid as that only foundation of salvation. Now, when we talk about the church, then we make always in our catechism classes a difference between the church militant and the church triumphant. Triumphant, that is that church that is in heaven. The church militant, that is the church here on earth. There's that church that have two parts. And there we make another distinction between the visible church and the invisible church. But still it is possible, and not only possible, but it is even permittable, and based on the word of God, that we are talking about another part of the church. And that is that part that lay under the seal of God's election, but that must be called at the appointed time of the Lord to become living members of the church. For that reason, we are always preaching, and we are sown the seed of the word amongst the multitudes, because we don't know the names of those persons are chosen by the Lord, and who shall have the privilege that they be born in Zion at the appointed time of the Lord. We have, that is our call, we have to preach the gospel. We have to preach Christ Jesus as that only name that is given under heaven, whereby we must be saved. And at the sight of men, that it is an hopeless matter. I tell you that. On the sight of men, it is an hopeless matter. Not at the sight of the Lord. No. The Lord, he is a sovereign God. And he is a gracious God. And he is a faithful God. And he is a God who is unchangeable in his essence, unchangeable in his counsel, and unchangeable in his will. And now all those who are chosen by the Father, there comes a time that the Lord calls them out of darkness to his marvelous light. If it must be for the case of our prayers and our sighings and cries, and supplications, or that there was no hope. There was no hope. But it is firm. It is firm in a and solid in a triumph dance. And sometimes it is possible that the seat of the word, that it lays under the clods for years and for years. That is possible. Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, they were disciples of Christ, but in secret. They have no freedom to come out for it. No. Only at that day when Christ died on Calvary, then it broke through. And then they have at that day, in that day, no more fear for men. But then the fear of the Lord was burning in their heart, and the love of God was so revealed and came, and they show it so that he went to Pilate, the governor, to ask for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ, he knows as God the counsel of his Father, all the names of the people, because from eternity he knows that already. When the Father, in accordance with what you read in John 17, that the Father already has given that people unto him. And now Christ, he was moved with compassion on them. As we find here in this text. All there was in his heart, a love that was burning to the honor of his Father and to the welfare of souls. And he knew for himself that there was people that must be gathered to the communion of God. He was moved with compassion on them because, and now that we come to our second point, but it was that Christ saw first because they were faint. Second, they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. They fainted in the first place on account of lacking. In the second place, on account of lacking the right foot for the soul. Because the people that was fainted, the teaching at those days from the lips of the Pharisees and scribes, that was so poor. So the true knowledge was lacking by that people because they had never heard. And it was now the same spiritually as that it is naturally and outwardly in our life. You take, for instance, there is always in the world rich people and poor people, and it shall remain to the end of the world. There is no president, there is no kaiser, no king or queen who ever can change that, because it is based on the word of God. There is people that have a very luxurious life. There is people that have everything. In the winter time, they have so much heat in their houses. They have all kind of food. And there is still other people in the world that have even no roof above their heads. You see that always. They call this country always in other countries a rich country. But if now there people out of other countries sometimes could see in what coaches that the people was living sometime, then he would say, I never have expected to see in the United States the poverty as that I have seen now. It is not with every people the same. No, it is far from that. And then if you have a nice house to live in, and you see that poor people that have even no house to live in. When I came first in Canada in 1948, I was in houses without doors. Without doors. And then in the winter time, it happens sometime that we go a blanket out of our car to warm ourselves a little in that night. So awful cold it was. And of course, if you have self now a nice home and everything what you want and more abundantly, and then you see there other people faint, so cold, so thin, that they are missing the necessities of their life in this world. Then, of course, ye must have compassion with them. Oh, there is sometimes people that is dying on account of poverty. Sometimes. You hear that also here in this rich country. And now Christ, he saw there the multitudes faint. Faint. Oh, there were souls, in other words, who are crying for that food, for that heavenly food, Christ Jesus. There are people fainting, crying for that knowledge. But it's so necessary to live and to die. Because, briefly, there is no right other preaching than only Christ and Him crucified. And what is now the right preaching? That now is food for the hungry in the temple and in the house of the Lord. Oh, it is true. We need an explanation of the text and of the Bible. We need it. I will not refuse or reject the study. No. A minister can never study enough. Never. And it is his duty to do it. Really. His duty. The Bible is so rich. And we have always, must always be busy to bring forth old and new things. And it is so necessary that we bring something new. Well, the same thing, but in other words. And that we explain the text, because that is also one of the reasons that the people come study to the church. Because if it now every Sunday morning and afternoon and evening is the same, all the time the same, and there is never something new in it, oh, then of course after a few weeks then the people said, oh, we know what that man preached. And what you will hear on the pulpit, I make myself not busy for that. I stay rather home to read a sermon. If it is always the same, that is so dead, people. But still, it is necessary that we study, all the time study, as we can, as we have an opportunity to do it. But if we expect it only from them, oh, then it is so poor. Then it is a plate with dry potatoes. That is a sermon that is only an explanation of the text. A plate with dry potatoes. And now those potatoes cannot be good, that they taste good. But you want something added to those potatoes. And then you say, now it is delicious. It is delicious. And that is now with the sermon also. The Holy Spirit must be it. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that is necessary. And that man brings forth old and new things out of the treasure of his heart. And even when he is preaching, that you can observe it. And that the people can say, you could realize in this evening when that man started, it was so dry. Oh, it was so dry. But later on, then the Lord, he opened the door. And then, it was a pleasure to listen to that man. Really. That you can observe that the Lord helps that man, and that he brings force out of his heart. And that all that poor people that is hungry and thirsty, and that they're sitting with so many problems, and with so many riddles, all that they receive an answer in their soul. And that they say, Lord, oh, what wonderful, I have not written one word to that man, I wrote not one word to that man. I spoke not to my wife or to my husband about those things that goes on in my heart. But even took place last night, and now that man he brought it all on the board. Oh, what a love. What a love. Then you can experience that they are called servants of the Lord. You can experience. Oh, when we think about the days of our own youth, people, when we were a little boy, oh, when I think about it, and then in our days, oh, then we have to say how far is it gone, really, how far is it gone. I saw once in my life a minister, he came through the door out of the consistory. And he was walking to the pulpit on a Sunday morning. And I saw that man I had never seen before. Oh, yes. But that Sunday morning, I saw as an angel of the Lord. Oh, and there many go on the pulpit and was standing there preaching about the third person in the Holy Trinity. Oh, it is almost 30 years ago. Oh, yeah, 40, it is more than 40 years ago. 33 years ago already. And still in our days, I think so many times about it. at that time.
And then that they were anointed with the Holy Spirit. And that they brought forth some wonderful things here out of their heart. And that all that you thought, sometime that you thought, oh, I want that many would preach now the whole night. Yes. I was sometimes sitting in the church, 15, 16 years old, and then I pray, Lord, I hope that that man never say amen, but that he goes on till that I die. Such a ministration from the Lord wasn't there sometimes. And if you ask me tonight, even tonight, what were the text, and what was that man preaching? Oh, then I can say what this text was, and what he was preaching about, and what he spoke on the pulpit, really. And then the power and the sweetness of the Word of God, because when we have a place in the church, and we hear the things that goes on, and we receive food for our soul, then heaven has started for it. Really. That is the pores of heaven for God's people. And you ask them even in our midst in our evening, that who say, oh, not many times, that are the best times of my life, that I am sitting there. Oh, and on that world that is gone now for that time. I have nothing to do with all those earthly things. But when I can listen to something, oh, when I am nothing else as ears. Oh, there's something that it is such a wonder that I say, Lord, oh, that you now give that man that knowledge, that grace to explain that now and to lay that now all on the table that I can eat and that I can drink. And now that people in the days of Christ, they were faint and scattered abroad. And a sheep without a shepherd. Because the shepherd, they take care for a good pasture. Oh, they bring you not in a desert. No, they bring you not to the mountain, to the top of the mountain, where it is all dead. But in green pastures, as you read in Psalm 23. And that the people can eat there. But all now scattered abroad, and a sheep without a shepherd. A shepherd, the right shepherd, he takes care for his sheep. He is living for them. For that reason, you read in the Bible, they know his voice. A stranger they shall not follow, but that right shepherd. All he takes care when that sheep is sick, when that sheep needs something, all that shepherd, he gives that animal everything that it needs. And he takes care in the evening when they cannot go to the flock, when they cannot go back. Oh, then in old times, then those shepherds, they were burning a great fire round about the flocks. Round about the flocks. And then all those wild enemies, devouring beasts, they could not come to the sheep. No. And other times when they are close to the sheepfold, oh, then in the evening, that man brought them in that fold. And then he was looking and he was counting them. Of all that people, of all that sheep was therein. And he never lay his head down to rest before that he knew that the last was in. And that they were in sight. That is now the right shepherd. Yes, and that shepherd in the church that is now always praying
that is now always supplicating, that is now always busy for that sheep and for that flock, always. They say time and again, Lord, oh, give me some knowledge, wisdom, instruction that I can bring it on the pulpit. Oh, you cannot imagine, people, if a shepherd called by the Lord in the week that the Lord him gave his light in a text, and that he finds something new in the text for God's people and for his own soul, how glad that man is. Oh, he rejoiced more in that as in the whole world. And then, oh, then he say, next Sunday, I hope to bring it on the pulpit. And then he had in his mind his people that he knows. All the people that needs food and drink. The people that needs instruction. One is so discouraged. One is so far away from the Lord. One is so full with unbelief. And so you can go on and forth. Oh, and then he knows his sheep. Oh, then he is so glad when he has for each and every one something. He is so glad. And that the Lord then apply it to their hearts. Oh, yes. There is more gladness in that people as in all the pleasures and in all the gold or silver of this world. But now the people that was fainted, scattered abroad, as sheep without a shepherd. There was no one, not one body that to care for. And when Christ now those multitudes saw, he was moved with compassion with them. And then he said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his vineyard. He said, now build now schools for those people. No. But he said, pray ye therefore the Lord. That's the first thing. And that is now the address. That is now the address. And only the Lord can send forth laborers in his vineyard. And such laborers that the church may be built up in the most holy faith. Oh, that the people go to the church with gladness in their heart. And that they every Sunday are glad that it is Sunday. That they on Thursday and on Friday, that they say already, Lord, now it is Thursday, tomorrow Friday and then Saturday. And then the day is there that I can go up to God's own house to hear the words of eternal life. Oh, what a gladness in the hearts of their people. If we have the true work of God in our heart, people, then the church that is our home. The church that is our home. And then the word of God that is our food and drink. If it is right here. And then we are low, really low. Because, oh, I tell you, it is a whole week, most of the time, people, troubled here. Then it this, and then it that. So many times confused, that the people say, oh Lord, now they say inside, oh, I cannot think that I have grace, because otherwise then it was different here. But oh, oh Lord, it is awful. It is a deep abyss full of wretchedness. It is, oh Lord, it is filled with enmity, with unbelief, It is of darkness, strife. It is always something. And then they have so many questions. And then Saturday night sometimes, I hope there is people here too that know that. Every time that they say, Lord, now tomorrow it is Sunday. Oh, I hope that now that man has had a message for me. I hope it. And that he now can say something. Oh, that I have as a little comfort. That I have as a little strength for my soul. Oh, Lord, now we are blessed that we have a few days of ministry in our midst. Oh, Lord, use now that man as a slave and on their hands. Oh, Lord, that now that man as was sent for me this time, that he is was sent for me. And I believe, boy, if now the Lord hear our prayers, and he was that man that was now sent today for me, for you. Then tomorrow, what not? Oh, then tomorrow, you need the same thing, of course. But then you would say, oh, Lord, now my neighbor. Oh, now that man that is living in the street, that's also poor. That is also in darkness. Oh, Lord, visit now that man. And then, oh, they the whole night listen for that man. Yes, so you can listen for it. Sometimes it happens on the Pope, in the church, that there is people, and that man that is sometimes so mad, and that, oh, they say so many things that is not preaching of the truth, but that he is picking on some people on the pulpit. But of course that's an awful thing. But that they say, oh, that man that have now, that could hear it too this morning. But what he was happening. An awful thing. Oh, I hope that the Lord has preserved always to do such things, really. That is not to edifying the church. No. There's not to edify in the church, but preach the word, preach the gospel. And if we then have eaten something, oh, and there is another poor soul that is so hungry, oh, then we say, Lord, oh, remember now that woman is. Remember now that man is today. Oh, Lord, give him something. Lord, a big, great man. And if I then receive his one crumb, follow from this master's table. Oh, I am glad too. But then I am also rejoiced at that man. For that woman I'll receive something. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Because the Lord, he only can send his servants. And now I thought in this evening, when I go to the church and this day, I thought, oh, if we look to our congregation, more than 20 in his country, and the laborers are so few. Some are gone to that other country, and so many vacant churches, so many vacant. What is the reason? What is the reason? And sometime, oh, we must say, Lord, now such a great company, is now the Lord not almighty? Oh, there's it some boys in the church tonight, young boys, is now the Lord's hand shortened to comfort? Is now the Lord's hand shortened to call unto that work of the minister, and that the Lord have placed on the pulpit, and that the people convinced this in their conscience that they say, this is the work of the minister. We have in the Netherlands once, and I was later on in that congregation for 11 years in Rotterdam, and there was once a boy, oh, he was so wicked, oh, wicked, really. The tavern, the beer garden, they closed there 9 o'clock in the evening always. But then he took with some of his friends a little boat, and he go over that river to the city, because there the beer garden were open till 12 o'clock. And many times he lay drunk on the street, many times. But when he was 28 years old, then the Lord, he stuck. Then the Lord, he stuck stuck. And he lay for years sick in his bed, under heavy convictions. Yeah, for years. And then when he came from his bed, then the Lord, he called him to the ministry. And then after 9 or 10 balls, he was standing on the pulpit. And that whole place, that whole village, that was so astonished about the work of the Lord. Yes, so astonished. And I have heard the men, there is people here in my midst in this evening. They have known that man too. They have known, they have heard. And many times, really, when he was standing in fire there on the pulpit, preaching Christ Jesus and him crucified, oh, that you could see it on his face, the gladness that there was in his heart. I have seen him crying also many times when he came in his former life back, when he came back in his former life. Oh, then he was sometimes so crying. Oh, but all atheists and people that were not living indifferent, they say, if there is a hell, then that man just kept him so convinced that it was the work of God. Yes. He is now in heaven for many years, but we have lived with that man, and he was sent into that vineyard as a laborer in the church. Yes. And then the opening that the Lord gave that man sometimes. Oh, and then you hear sometimes from the pulpit things that you must say, I never have heard. Really? Such secrets of the Lord that he explained on the pulpit and that he had received directly from heaven. Pray. Pray ye therefore the Lord. Beloved congregation, it is for the last evening in this trip that we preached in your midst. And my work in Grand Rapids is calling me again to go back. And I was, really I can say it, I was with pleasure in your midst. To bring again that glorious and everlasting gospel. It is now soon 11 years that we are standing from time to time on this pulpit. And when I was sitting there in that bench, the third night that I was in Patterson in 47, I was crying there because it was English. I could not hear one word, no one. And I never have thought when I was sitting there that the time would come that I would stand here to preach to you in English, in person. But oh, the Lord have done this. And that as of baby, the Lord gave that privilege to talk. And so I was standing here time and again. Really. Oh, I hope, young and old, that it is not in vain, I hoped, and not for it, but that the Lord may sanctify it. We hope to go back in this night to Grand Rapids. Oh, I hope, 'tis all week, I know it. I hope to remember. I hope to take you with me. But oh, I hope also that you take with you the words spoken also in this trip to your congregation, that you meditated, and that it was for many to an eternal blessing. Oh, I hoped from the bottom of my heart, and that the God of all grace, when we come back and extend the Lord willing, that we could hear this one and that one that is born in Zion. That we could sit at our feet to hear what the Lord has wrought. Oh, then I am willing, people. I am willing to sit on the floor to hear, to listen about the wonders of the Lord. And the Lord is still alive. He is almighty. He speaks and it is. He commands and it stands firm. Young and old, great and small, I commend you with your consistory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he be with us in our coming in and going out from this time and forevermore. Amen. Lord, bless thy word and testimony. Remember this congregation and consistory. Look down in mercy and in grace. And grant all of us what we stand and need for time and for eternity. Made everything well with thyself. Be with us and our boy, where we have to hope to live in this coming night, to our own congregation and dear ones. Guide and protect us, and that the prayers and supplication of thy people accompanied us on our trip, that we remember one another. But above, Lord, remember us in thy condescending love and favor. Spread out thy precious wings and be with all of us, with the pardoning of our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing now number 221, the last stanza. When thou shalt revive us, thy name we will praise. And what follows, number 221.
Thank you.
blessing of the Lord, grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.